Peachy on CJSF 90.1 FM Sound Therapy Radio. It's a bit of Alex Kiba. We have another stupendous, amazing, spectacular episode of our show here. We have some special guests in the studio. June, Leroy, and Lori are going to tell some personal stories, life experiences. I also have Ryan Fletcher, who is host of Melodies in Mind, and we're going to be exploring some language and the rhythm of nature and metaphors and cliches. So stay tuned. It'll be a very exciting, random, and abstract episode on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Someone with a gambling problem that's out of control? Or maybe that person is you. Get the control back. Phone the gambling helpline at 1-888-795-6111. Help is available all day, every day.
Giving back to your community in a cool way while helping your family eat better? Well, you can. It's all in the name, Plant a Row, Grow a Row, an organization that helps you help others. Plant vegetables and donate them to your local food bank. Get how-to tips and more information about this innovative idea at www.growarow.org.
All right, Jay Peachy here, Sound Therapy Radio, back in the studio, jam-packed episode. There's probably more people listening outside than there are online, but at least we know what our listenership looks like. All right, we have some special guests in the studio here and that are joining us today to share some stories. We have June, Leroy, and Lorenzo. Let's do some hellos on the microphone, so grab the mic and just say hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Great, how are you doing today?
Good.
Great. Yeah, June.
Hello, how's it going?
Great. And then Lauren, he's a new kind of contributor to Sound Therapy. Gonna help. She's helped co-produce this episode and save my butt from, like, you know, burning this episode in fire and, like, oh, I forgot guests. So she is also has a background in kind of mental health. And thank you for bringing. Your friends here. So talk a bit about the condition and this diagnosis and what it's about. It's schizoaffective disorders,
yeah,
and this is how everyone's connected here.
I'm schizoaffective. I was found out, you know, quite young in that, and I ended up meeting some wonderful other people that also share the same mental illness as me.
So explain what schizoaffective is, because even as a mental health advocate, I assume it's schizophrenia and just some of the stuff that goes in your mind. And so what is it defined, and what's the experience like and side effects?
Schizoaffective is basically schizophrenia and bipolar kind of put into one. So what that entails would be you'd be hearing voices, you'd have different mood swings, you know, hallucinate, delusion, you know, paranoia.
Yeah. Hold on, actually, are you guys okay on camera, too? Because, you know, yeah, so you're supposed to ask me first, Charlie. So mental health is not, that stepped on my $2,000 guitar. we'll have to check that, because this is also a paranoia, too, like being on camera, and that's why I think radio is very an important kind of mechanism that allows people to say things, what they want to say, without having the burden of, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get found out, and all that kind of thing. So
that's not going to be...
No. So yeah. So are you okay? So whoever's not fine, please put your hand up.
Is it going to be used in?
Well, see, this goes on our, on our Facebook and sometimes YouTube. So we have to. So we should check that first. So no. So yeah. You gotta ask. No. This is our as media responsibility. That's what we're supposed to do. Actually, we're supposed to get clearance. But who are you? My name is Jay Peachy. This photographer just comes in the studio and takes photos. You know.
Yeah. Right.
I saw you last week. Woo. I just check. You know, because sometimes they bring a camera. They think the same guy. But especially myself as an activist, it's like, well, I'm getting photographed all the time and more, you know, so they know what I'm saying. Like, this is when the paranoia comes in handy, because it's like, as an activist, with other people that are like, oh, yeah, it's like, close the door, man, you can't, it's like, they're going to come in. Like, and I now I actually have a serious reference to it. It's not like, just making it up. And so everybody else that's an activist has the same mindset. It's like, you know, just, you know, watch around you. And so it's actually a gift in that context, you have this hypersensitivity, because they're always getting watched, man. But get to know me. I have a radio show every Tuesday at 7, you can listen. Like, really, come on. It'll be sick of me. It's like, oh, I don't want to do another stake with this guy. I can just go listen to the radio, man. Like, come on. It's like, they're not stalkers. They're new fans. Add me on Facebook. Like, so, we have to be conscious of that. So talk a bit about, your experience. And is this a new, like, was this, when was the outset, and what did that look like?
I probably started knowing symptoms of schizophrenia when I was 5, you know. We'd go to school, and, you know, I'd have a bad day, and I'd come home, and I'd say, Mom, you know, everybody's being mean to me. Everybody's saying all these nasty things to me. My mom would, you know, see the teacher and nothing was going on. It's, you know, you're just imagining things.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until I was about 18, just after 18, that I really started to have symptoms of voices and delusions and that, and ended up in the hospitalized for about 2.5 months from it.
In grade 5?
At the time I was 18, so
yeah.
But it started earlier when I was...
You noticed when you were 5 or in grade 5?
Noticed when I was 5, yeah.
Wow. And so, and then it was until your teens where they kind of figured it out?
Yeah, it was.
And so what did you do in between? Are you just like lots of diagrams and drawings, or like what, like how did it, you're just like...
I thought like I was crazy, right? Like so I just ignored things, and, you know, and then eventually I thought, well, maybe it was just normal. You know, everybody was like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what got me, you know, later on, I thought it was normal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I ended up becoming silent. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't talk. I couldn't hear what people were saying to me.
Oh, because it was overload with voices.
It was overload with
voices. Yeah, it's like Farmville. It's like having Farmville on all the time. Like all the animals is like, come on, like, leave me alone. I need a break. And,
Yeah. So it was, and you know, I thought basically reality. I thought reality was through your mind. I didn't.
Yeah, you don't know what's like That was like, oh, that really happened, or like, you know, hey, well, you were there last Tuesday, don't you remember? It's like, no.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so, wow. And so that was in your teens, eh? And so then when it's like, hey, that's not kind of quite right, right? What was your, like, man, I should have had a V8. What explain when you found out what that means? Because I'm the same thing. It's like, whoa. I was reading the book. Oh, my God. Did someone write this just for me? Like, oh, my God. It's like, and you have it, too. It's like, oh, I thought it was special. Like, yeah. You know, and then you just, like, your mind works against you. So.
Oh, yeah. I was hospitalized. And while I was hospitalized, I couldn't talk and I couldn't listen to anybody. I had no idea what was going on, right? And I would started going to these group called EPI groups, right? And they
EPI.
Were
what's EPI?
EPI, early psychosis intervention.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it would, you know, the outer part is psychosis, and then you go into schizoaffective, schizophrenia,
psychosis is when you're like,
it's like an umbrella.
Yeah, hey, I had that too. That's what they call it. Yeah, it's a psychosis umbrella. I should make that. And stop the rain. Well, yeah, I guess you stop the rain, right? You stop the rain.
So I went into the EPI program and. It was, I did it quite a few times, so I wasn't getting anything. But it was interesting because they showed us a video of somebody who has psychosis.
Yeah.
And they had cars driving by. And, you know, what happened with me is I'd go on the road, I'd go for walks for hours, and I'd talk to the cars going by. Every time a car would go by, it would say something, right?
Yeah.
And I saw it on television, and I thought, oh, my God, like... Yeah. Other people know about this, you know, and that's when I started realizing something wasn't right, you know?
Because it was affecting your probably day-to-day things. You're you're like, yeah. So what would that look like? I mean, what would be in your regular day-to-day things that you were supposed to do that weren't happening because you're in this
state?
Yeah.
I ended up quitting my job. I refused to do something for a customer.
Randomly. Oh, yeah.
And just because of what the voices were telling me, right?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And I ended up wandering around aimlessly everywhere. You know, I'd be gone. And, you know, I'd come home and, you know, everybody thought I was doing drugs. Like, a big part of it is they thought I was doing crystal meth or something like that, right? And
you're your own dealer. It's like, man.
Yeah.
It's in there. Like, I don't have to.
Yeah. You don't need anything.
Yeah, no.
It's
and
there.
Same for me. Like, I'm like, you know, hyper bipolar creative guy. And they're like, man, what do you want? I like acrylic and watercolor.
Yeah.
You know? So. That's really my phone buzzing, right?
That's right.
Wow, amazing. So let's move on a bit here to June, right?
Hello.
So how do you relate to what Lauren was saying?
Well, for me, it started when I was about 17 when I first started noticing symptoms. I was really paranoid. I kept thinking people were talking about me behind my back and that I was being watched. And but it didn't really come out. Like, I had my first like episode when I was about 19, and they didn't know what I had at first. They said I was borderline, and then they said I was bipolar, and then they said I had psychosis. So it took a while for the actual
diagnosis. And the right
fit. Exactly.
And I'm still figuring things out too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it just started off with like just being really paranoid, and I started seeing things and hearing voices, and I thought at first they were just in my head, and I was like just thoughts, but they were being really intrusive and telling me to do these things. And
That you know your logic is like, no. So there's this ongoing negotiation, and you're trying to, like...
Yeah, it was, for one part, it was actually exciting, because it was like being in a different world. Like, everything was, like, giving you clues about how the world works, or, like, about something that's going on. It's like you listen to lyrics in a song, and they'd tell you things, and you're like, oh, really? That's what it means.
You figured it out.
Yeah, it was, like, following clues, so it was kind of exciting that way, but it could be also really scary.
Yeah, because it could lead you down certain things.
Exactly.
But I think there's a certain truth, like even like how things get revealed themselves, and I think we can't discount all of it, I think.
Right.
I mean, there's this balance, right?
Right.
Do you find that you've come to this? Because you probably, I mean, I still hear things, and we have thoughts, and we have things in our environment all the time. So
right.
To automatically shut it all off,
you kind of throw everything out, right? So how do you come to this balance point where, you know, we have these fluid creative minds or things are coming, and how do you define this balance where it's like, okay, well, that's maybe true and that's not, and, you know,
medication.
Yeah, well, I've been to different, like, I've seen psychologists and psychiatrists, and I've read about schizoaffective, and so now I'm able to identify what's delusion and what's paranoia, but that doesn't mean that I still don't feel it. I still believe it, but at the same time, I'm trying to challenge it.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So what kind of tools would you do? Would you ask other people? It's like, is this real or not? Or like, because I'm always double-checking half my thoughts anyways, and being an artist allows me to put that absurdity somewhere, and then, you know, over there, and it's like, nah, maybe you don't want to do that. It's like, okay. Right, and just move on. So, like, yeah, how do you, I don't know how to, there's a question in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I try to, identify, like, I've been doing CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, and it teaches you to identify what's causing your symptoms. Like, when I get really stressed, then the symptoms go up, and I hear the voices more.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So that kind of amplifies it.
Exactly.
Okay, so yeah, a certain trigger.
Exactly. Okay. So if you can identify what's triggering it,
yeah,
then you can reduce it.
Right.
Reduce the symptoms. So I try to follow the CBT. I'm not sure if that's answering your question.
Yeah, no, I get it. Because, yeah. Like, the whole thing for me, like, there's certain things that'll be just, like, well, authority.
Yeah.
But like, because of certain experience in like religious and spiritual thing that was, right? So
right.
There's all these demanded type of thinking. And so even if someone throws a word, and they may not even be coming from that spiritual context,
yeah,
I'll be like, you know, and it'll be pap, 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 pap. It'll be right, yeah, back at them. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
And so, yeah, I've learned, like yourself, to kind of put a bit of a, you know, hold on before you fire back there, Tonto. It's like... sometimes I write the email to myself, right?
Right.
Because, you know, it's easy to blah, 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 blah. And then when it comes through on the other side, it's like, oh my gosh. So I've done it where I send it myself. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's my... So I don't know if that relates.
Yeah.
Cool. You, sir. You had mentioned something about when I was kind of dealing with it.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I was diagnosed when I was 18 years old. And... I went through a couple of manic episodes, the mania.
Yeah.
Yeah. I decided one day to hike Grouse Mountain, without any preparation. Just hike the mountain, and it was very dangerous, because I was by myself, and search and rescue had to get me. I was at the top of the gondola.
Yeah.
Of the mountain.
Wow. Like, you just had that much energy to go,
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, 200 feet on the air.
No brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes I would run down the highway chasing cars, thinking I'm in the Olympics. And just things that are not realistic.
Yeah. Was there something triggering you? Like, because I did the grass grind thing too. Like, I
right.
was doing a lot, and actually I was... generate a lot of endorphins, but
right.
because it was pretty manic, right?
Yeah.
And one day I was so mad, a friend didn't show up.
Yeah.
I ran up the grind.
Okay.
I ran down, and I tried to run home to, like, I lived at Main and 21st, and I
right.
just ran straight.
Wow.
Until, like, I got, I was a peony, I called my wife, I was like, hey, can I get a ride? It's like, I was kind of mad, I just kind of overreacted a little bit.
Right.
And, like, straight.
But that it could be normal in a sense, because it's exercise and
yeah.
But maybe not the right environment. Maybe
the context was just totally random. And
yeah,
yeah. Wow. So do you know if that anything particular triggered you? Like, if you go back, see, my thing was like, I was angry,
right?
And I had this expectation that friend, and it was totally like, oh, I totally forgot the email, right? So I got mad, made it bigger than it was, and then overreacted.
Right. I think I was, in a sense, I was isolating myself from my friends and my family, So I would go and do things on my own instead of with like a group of people going on a actual hike.
Oh yeah.
So
you're running away kind of thing.
Like? Yeah, just I isolated myself.
Yeah. And then, do you think they didn't understand you or like?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know.
It could be scary at sometimes, you know, like.
Yeah, where it takes you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for surviving. Pretty amazing. Probably you do the Olympics now, training in there a lot.
For sure, yeah.
But, so what's work for you? Because you're pretty fit, and, like, do you manage that kind of, is in that energy still kind of in you, and then you found a way
to... Oh, absolutely,
so
yeah.
So what do you do?
I go play soccer and stuff, and I'm with a group of friends, and working out at the gym, and... Just keeping busy, active, keeping involved in the community, and yeah.
Do you find there's like with your energy, like was there anger associated, and it's hard for people to like contain you because you wanted to do your thing, or is it what is just fleeing, just leave me alone, and because I'm just trying to understand because I kind of relate to all your experiences, right? For different reasons,
I'd say a bit of both, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe some anger in there, trying to escape. At the same time, trying to be productive and maybe try to win that gold medal. You never know, right?
Yeah.
For it.
No, I still kind of have these manic thoughts that are just like, and then I step back. It's like, well, nah, man, I'm not going to learn ice dancing in a year and qualify. Like, this is, you know, like, this is the stuff come on my mind, right? And you just, like, say it randomly in the safe space of people that understand. You're like, ah, nah, you know. Then you start putting logic in it. It's like,
well,
man,
that's it, right?
Right? You're just like, you know, how are you going to learn? Like, you don't have, first of all, you don't have a partner. Then you have to hire a coach. And then,
right.
Yeah.
Then you put this logic in front of it.
Right.
It's like, if you really want to do it, like, but if it's just a fleeting thought. Mm-hmm. So you kind of culture jam your own thing with the own logic. That I think we stay true to the logic, even though it may seem absurd.
Well, you need to stay with the logic so you can stay in... You need to stay with the logic, you know, so you can stay in reality.
Yeah.
You know, instead of wandering off, I call it psychosis land, instead of wandering off there and,
yeah.
You know, going and floating around, you need to actually stay down to ground, right?
Do you, like, as comics, like, I mean, we're, do you know Robbie Engelquist?
He's no.
He's a comedian and really has kind of embraced that whole, just taking it, and then...
Okay.
He's kind of turned it on his head, like, he wanted his own lawnmower company, right? It's like, he would show up at clients randomly in the morning, hey, you can have more lawn! Like, this is a comedic thing, right? And so he's kind of gone with it that way and found a way to take these, like, creative things and then just put it over there, right?
Right.
As opposed to letting it become actually a real company. It became an imaginary company that you can laugh at and just stay real, right? Because, you know, I was like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, first I got to get scissors and that kind of thing. So, yeah, any other tactics you used for kind of normalizing it?
Well, yeah, it's like Lori said, just because if you start following those psychotic thoughts or those manic thoughts, and for instance, if I watched a movie and it was telling me about like angels and demons, and I started saying, oh, you know what, it says in the movie that when demons are destroyed or when they're around, they bring the presence of sulfur, and I'm allergic to sulfur, so that means I'm allergic to demons. That's why I can tell that who's a demon and who's not.
Oh, if they smell like sulfur,
yeah.
They're like they're condemned.
Exactly. Oh, so, and then oh my god, then your mind just goes with
goes,
it
goes,
it just
yeah.
goes. And so you have to like, I have to step back and say, you know what, that's just a movie, like
yeah.
It doesn't mean that's true. And so you have to like challenge yourself
and
not just give in and just go with the flow kind of thing. You have to step back, like, which is sometimes it's hard, but with practice it gets easier. It does.
Cool. All right, we're gonna take a break here. We had Ryan Fletcher, who is intently listening. He was gonna kind of put a bit of a nature language in here, because there's almost like there's this absurdity where we've actually taken ourselves away from the reality of nature. Right, and so we wanted to kind of excavate these metaphors and these puns in the data, and kind of like almost ridicule them, but then look at them. But those are actually the reality of what's going on. not some of the stuff that's created in our artificial world. So we're going to take a bit of a break and come right back. JP Chion, Sound Therapy Radio on CJSF 90.1 FM.
I was feeling uneasy, not sure about my program. Deep down, I knew it wasn't for me, so I decided to give Katimovic a try. It was the best decision I ever made. It helped me see who I am, and now I'm back in school in a program I love with a future I'm going to make happen.
Places are still available for January 2012. Take a different path. 6 months far from home, learning, working, discovering. Become who you are. Visit katimovic.org. KATIMAVIK.org.
Aboriginal culture and adventures. Sometimes we all need to investigate something new and exciting. It could be in our own area or neighborhood. The Aboriginal Tourism Association has different cultural adventures, authentic experience, and much more. See totem poles being created, look at some incredible artwork, or enjoy different traditional foods. The website has everything you need to plan something new and exciting. For more information, go to aboriginalbc.com.
All right, JPG Sound Therapy Radio on CHSF 90.1 FM. We have Ryan Fletcher in the studio. He's hosting Melodies in Mind, but also, if you didn't know it, is a poet. It's a crime not to rhyme.
I didn't know it either, but do I have to write poetry now?
Well, you're going to read, are you not?
Oh. Just kidding.
He knows it. He's lying.
Okay. So, I understand there's a bit of a theme tonight about nature.
Yeah, the nature well, natural of thoughts. What's real natural thoughts and what's kind of fake natural thoughts?
Right.
This is what's kind of coming out because we're trying to determine what's real and what's kind of in our minds created. How's that?
Okay. I'm just going to turn the headphones up because I'm used to hearing my own voice. Which is important for poetry. I think of poetry as an oral art, not a written art. And so I like to hear how I sound. And this particular piece was written in 2006, and I was longing for some natural experience, some experience of nature. I had spent the previous summer in the Okanagan working in the orchards and picking fruit from trees and being my natural monkey self up there in the trees. And then I was in the city here, and I was longing for that time, and I wrote this poem called My Fireplace. This candle, my campfire. This incense, my log. This page, my adventure. These words, my song. This mood is my journey, and it's with thoughts that I trod through all the fading horizons and all the bright new dawns, and the passing of trees of this world soon gone, where time drips